approval and as filed with the recent update received yesterday.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions by the commission, and is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have some questions. Go ahead, Mr. Starr. I thought your filing did a pretty good job of explaining the request, but could you describe in general terms the rationale for making this move, and then also any possible effect on the remaining customers served by natural gas by Northwestern?
Okay. Well, I guess the rationale is, as Dave has stated, a request for these customers to be able to have some certainty in their gas supply costs through the winter season. These are primarily customers that are very weather sensitive. Their consumption drops off to very minimal amounts during the warmer seasons.
I probably didn't do a very good job at asking my question. They have that opportunity currently, sort of on the unregulated side.
Right. Why are we moving it back to the regulated side?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I think it's part of kind of a move at Northwestern to concentrate on its regulated utility business and to discontinue some of the non-regulated activities that we've had. We've sold certain businesses. I think we're paring down the non-regulated gas marketing business, and those things that we see opportunities to serve them under a regulated service seem to make sense here. We're not planning to make any money on the gas supply for these customers. We're going to back up whenever we make a purchase for them. We're going to do it with a market price that's available so that they're going to have whatever pricing we have. And the only thing that the utility receives as real revenue, then net revenue, is the delivery service that we do under the tariff, which is the same as our transportation tariffs. And, in fact, these customers could use others to provide them with supply and use our transportation service. But at the level of consumption that these have and the drop-off in consumption that they have during the warmer season, there aren't a lot of marketers who are interested in this load, but they certainly have that flexibility to be served by others instead of us if that works. And by pricing the gas at various times during different seasons that we would look at this, they could make the decision when they think it makes sense for them as they look at the market. But I think, to answer your question more directly, we're moving services that were part of our non-regulated business back to the regulated business and back before the commission for its oversight.
Thank you.
Any further?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Mr. Dietrich, I notice in your filing you talk about approximately 60 customers will select this new tariff is your projection, and I realize that some of that information may be confidential, but have you heard back from any potential customers who have been concerned about this, or any, you said you have had positive feedback. Have you had any negative feedback from folks?
I think Mr. Gross might be able to answer that.
We had no negative feedback. I've got positive emails from about 5 or 6 of them we contacted.
Is there any concerns about them having the ability to lock in? I mean, are these fairly sophisticated business customers in general, or?
Sir,
would you approach the microphone for those persons who are listening in on the meeting today? Thank you.
They're generally not very sophisticated with regard to gas pricing. They would be looking for, the plan would be an email from us recommending them or giving them their windows. And at that time, it's their choice. The business manager or the administrator would yay or nay us.
So, I mean, do you think you're going to be providing them with advice on whether or not to lock in, or how is that going to work? Or just basically, here's your options, is that what you're going to say to them?
Basically, here's your options, and maybe then a little bit of market insight, and it's still their choice.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Then do we have a motion? I will make a motion that the commission approve the tariff revisions with less than 30 days' notice.
I will second.
I concur.
Under telecommunications, TC05-085, in the matter of the application of 800 Response Information Services, LLC, for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange telecommunication services in South Dakota. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the certificate of authority to 800 Response Information Services. Michelle?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. 800 Response Information Services submitted an application in accordance with the administrative rules of South Dakota. The applicant intends to provide resold interexchange services, including inbound toll-free 800 service to non-residential customers throughout South Dakota. They've made all staff recommended changes to the tariff, and they've agreed to accept restrictions from offering prepaid services and from collecting deposits and advance payments. Staff would recommend the Commission approve the Certificate of Authority for 800 Response Information Services, LLC, with restrictions on deposits, advance payments, and prepaid calling cards.
Thank you, Michelle. Is there anyone from 800 Services that wishes to address the Commission? Are there any questions, or is there a motion from the Commission?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman, if I may. So with the business model we're talking about here, there would you explain a little bit more about how it actually is going to work, what type of services they're providing?
They're providing 800 service, incoming 800 service to business customers.
And it's on the application. Also talks about real-time call details, reports via the Internet.
Right. They'd be able to monitor their activity on the Internet as the calls are being received.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Is there a motion? I will move that the Commission grant the Certificate of Authority to 800 Response Information Services, LLC.
Second.
And I concur.
In the matter of approving amendments to agreements in TC-05-102 and TC-05-103, question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the amendments to the agreements? And presenting today, Sarah.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The above two amendments that you mentioned were properly filed with the Commission. They contain no discriminatory language, and no comments were filed by anyone within the 20-day time frame, so staff would recommend approval of the above amendments.
Thank you, Ms. Greff. Are there any questions? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Commission approve the amendments to the agreements.
I second.
I concur. In the matter of approving amendments to agreements in TC-05-104, TC-05-105, and TC-05-106, the question before the Commission is, shall the Commission disapprove the amendments to the agreements? Ms. Greff.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. In all of the above agreements, none of the companies have a valid certificate of authority with us, nor do they have a valid agreement with us, so the amendments would not be properly filed, and staff would recommend disapproval of the amendments.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions?
Ms. Greff, the reason that these companies didn't want to get COAs is they're not planning to actually do business in this state for some time?
Correct.
Okay. And they all, I assume, understand that these would be disapproved. Likely would be disapproved at this Commission meeting?
Correct.
Thanks.
Melissa Thompson from Quest, you're on the line. Do you have anything to add?
No, I don't have anything to add, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I'll move that the Commission disapprove the amendments to the agreements.
I will concur.
Second. On item 3, TC-05-107, in the matter of filing for approval of terms and conditions for interconnection, unbundled network elements, ancillary services, and resale of telecommunications services between Quest Corporation and Earnest Communications Incorporated. Question before the Commission is, shall the Commission disapprove the interconnection agreement? Sarah.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Once again, this company does not have a certificate of authority with us, nor do they plan to get a certificate of authority with us in the near future, so staff would recommend disapproval of the agreement.
Thank you. And Quest, do you have anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Melissa Thompson. No, I don't have
any questions by the Commission? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Commission disapprove the interconnection agreement.
Second.
I will concur. TC-05-109, in the matter of the establishment of switched access revenue requirement for West River Telecommunications Cooperative. First question before the Commission is, shall the Commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $100,000 with an initial deposit of $1,000? And secondly, shall the Commission allow the use of GVNW cost study model? Harlan, do you take this first, or do we have...
Yes, thank you, Chairman. As we have done with the other switched access cost study companies the $1,000 or $100,000 assessment with the initial deposit of $1,000 is to pay the expenses of staff time. Staff would recommend that the commission allow the executive director to assess additional funds as needed.
Thank you, Arlen. And is West River represented today? If not, are there any questions by the commission?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Best, could you describe a bit the GVNW cost study model? Or what staff's recommendation is on that issue?
As the commission has done in prior cost studies submitted by West River, they have used the GVNW cost study model. And it is very similar to the commission cost study model. And staff will be recommending acceptance of the GVNW cost study model.
Thank you. Further questions? If not, are there motions? I will move that the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $100,000 with an initial deposit of $1,000, and further that the commission allow the use of the GVNW cost study model.
Second.
And I concur.
TC05-110 in the matter of the request for, we have two here. Request from Heartland Telecommunications Company of Iowa doing business as Hickory Tech Corporation for certification regarding its use of USF funds. TC05-111 in the matter of the request of Kennebec Telephone Company for a certificate regarding its use of Federal Universal Service Support as well. The question before the commission is, shall the commission provide a certificate to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of Federal Universal Services Support as proposed in each of the above dockets? First off, we will hear from staff. Harlan, are you carrying this one?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both of these companies filed certified statements that the company, respective companies, will use the funds in the appropriate manner set forth by FCC rule. And staff would recommend that the commission issue a provide a certification to the FCC and to the Universal Service Administration Company that these companies will continue to use the funds in the appropriate manner.
Thank you. Thank you, Harlan. Is there anyone else wishing to come before the commission on this item? If not, are there any questions? Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for use of Federal Universal Service Funds support as proposed in each of the above dockets.
Second.
I concur. We have an addendum to the agenda of the commission meeting under consumer issues. CT05-004 in the matter of the complaint filed by Eldon Lindquist on behalf of Pure Radio Paging and Telephone Pure, South Dakota, against Venture Communications Cooperative Incorporated of Sully Buttes Telephone Cooperative Incorporated regarding a billing dispute. Question before the commission is, how shall a commission rule on the motion? At its regular meeting on July 28th, the commission heard oral argument for the parties and their counsel on Venture's motion and deferred action. I have a motion to read, and we can have comment. I move that Venture Communications Cooperative's motion to dismiss be denied. I further move that Venture's alternative motion to strike be granted in part with respect to the following language in the complaint and attachments. In Sully Buttes Exhibit 1, strike the last paragraph of the body of the attachment beginning with the words, quote, "We received a letter from Darla Rogers," end quote, and request for relief, item number 1. To make that clear, when I state and request for relief 1, the information under 1 would be stricken. In the attached March 2, 2004 letter from Benjamin J. Aaron to Darla Pullman Rogers, strike the last paragraph. Additionally, strike the letter dated December 22, 2004 from Darla Pullman Rogers to Eldon Lindquist in its entirety. I further move that except for these specific items, Venture's motion to strike be denied. Are there any amendments to that motion? If not, the motion stands with vote.
Mr. Chair, I would second.
And I concur.
Next item before the commission is telecommunications, TC05-073, in the matter of the request by the Local Exchange Carriers Association and its members for a waiver of ARSD 2010-2714. On August 4th, LECA filed a motion to withdraw and a supporting stipulation. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the motion to withdraw? Keith, are you going to address us on this? Darla is going to address us. Ms. Rogers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Members of the commission, LECA has basically agonized over this docket from its inception and, in fact, before, and continues to struggle with the current rules as they exist and also some of the issues that face LECA. But after filing for the waiver, I think it became apparent from staff data requests and from the interveners and their stated intention to serve discovery requests that this was going to become a more complicated docket and more time-consuming than LECA cares to pursue at this time. Therefore, LECA has decided to withdraw its request for a waiver and hopes to explore and pursue a course of action that will be more acceptable to all the parties involved. We have filed a motion to withdraw our application, which is permitted under the rules as long as there has not been a final action. The rules also require that we obtain a stipulation from intervening parties that they agree to the withdrawal of the motion. I filed the stipulation, and at the time I filed it, I had not secured the signature of AT&T. Since then, I was able to talk to the attorney for AT&T, and I do have their signature for the stipulation.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Just the two interveners, AT&T and Midcontinent?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are there other parties who would like to address the commission at this time? Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm Dave Gertis. I'm a lawyer from Pier, and I represent Midcontinent Communications. Midcontinent Communications has agreed to the withdrawal, and we're not opposing the withdrawal. However, in doing so, Midcontinent wishes to publicly express its general dissatisfaction with the continued increase in inter-carrier compensation that the underlying dockets represent that are still pending before the commission. What I've handed out is the cover letter of a submission by the Intercarrier Compensation Forum that was filed with the FCC in last August in 2004, and attached to it, the last page, is really what we want to call to the Commission's attention, and that is this is a part of that filing. I do have the entire filing at my office if you wish to have a copy of it. It's about 85 pages long. And we simply want to point out this graph, which shows that a study conducted by the ICF, the Intercarrier Compensation Forum, shows that small ILEC intrastate intercarrier compensation, the average is 5.1 cents. Yet in all of these dockets, you have ILECs asking for rates in the teens, and we simply, that is Mid-Continent Communications, wishes to publicly state that this is too great an expense for the communications industry as a whole to continue to bear, and for that reason we simply want to call this to the Commission's attention.
Thank you very much, Dave.
As we are withdrawing, or as we are agreeing the docket can be withdrawn.
I see that these are ILEX and CLEX on the first seven items. Not being totally familiar with the acronyms on some of the, are any of these ever cumulative? Are they ever pancaked, any of these?
To my knowledge, no. Small ILEX, in my vernacular at least, would describe members of LECA as an example.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Is there anyone else who wishes to present any argument before the Commission on this item? Commission action?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we grant the motion to withdraw in TC 05073.
I second. Under announcements, I believe we've covered the agenda. Under announcements, we have a gentleman in the audience with us today. His name is Bill Even. He's the new energy czar for the state of South Dakota. What is your title?
Director of State Energy Policy.
Director of State Energy Policy. Well, welcome. He's had an opportunity to sit down and visit with the three of us as commissioners and as a group, and I'm sure you know absolutely everything you ever wanted to know now, correct? Announcements. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be held September 13th, 2005 at Swiftel Center in Brookings. Commission meetings are also scheduled for September 27th and October 4th. Federal Communications Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein will be joining the South Dakota Commission on the broadband road trip, August 23 through 25, 2005. A hearing in docket CT05001 has been scheduled to begin at 10 a.m. August 30th. The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission and the U.S. Department of Energy are partnering together to host a regional wind conference September 11 through the 13th at the Swiftel Center in Brookings. A public meeting in docket EL05-022 will be held at 7 p.m. September 13th at the Lantern Inn in Milbank, South Dakota. That concludes the meeting. Thank you for joining us.